This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House State Affairs will come to order. I'd like to welcome everybody that's in the room today. We thank you for coming. And also like to welcome everybody that's on the internet. Just like to remind everybody to have your cell phones shut off so that there's no disruptions. And with that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Dennert.
Here.
Diedrich.
Here.
Goodwin.
Here.
Gosch.
Yeah.
Hansen.
Here.
Haugard.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
McCleary.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Beal.
Here.
Quam.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have a quorum. I'll ask for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. I'd like to remind testifiers to sign in and make sure lobbyists are wearing the proper badges, and all testimony and questions will be addressed through the chair. With that, we will start right off with HJR 5001. We took testimony on that on Friday, and we deferred the vote until today. And with that, I will open it up to comments and or action. Representative Jensen.
I move to pass.
Second.
Moved by Jensen, seconded by Beal. Any comments on that?
Not really. We've kind of had a lot of discussion on this already. I think everybody probably knows how they're going to vote. I think we should just go straight to the vote.
Okay. Any further? Representative Haugard.
I'd just like to comment that I did review the testimony from the other day, and I don't have any questions at this time.
Any further comments? Seeing none, the secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Dennert.
No.
Diedrich.
No.
Goodwin.
No.
Gosch.
No.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
McCleary.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Smith.
No.
Beal.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
7-6.
HJR 5001 passes on a vote of 7-6 and will be sent to the floor. Okay, with that, HB 1004 is being deferred, still working some things out, getting very close, so we will hear that. Hopefully we can get to that on Wednesday. So with that, I will bring up HB 1129, authorize the provision of call location information to law enforcement agencies. Do we have any proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rhonda Milstead, representing District 9. I do have an amendment on the floor. The amendment was mostly just tightening up some verbiage. It was after conversations with Metro and different law enforcement agencies. So if we can move the amendment, then I will discuss both at the same time.
So move.
Moved by Smith, seconded by Dennert. Any comments on that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment is on.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, committee members, House Bill 1129 is before you today because of a tragedy that could have had a better outcome 13 years ago. In June of 2007, an 18-year-old girl was abducted from a parking lot in Overland Park, Kansas. Surveillance cameras showed her being shoved into a car and driven away. The ensuing search included both law enforcement and the FBI, and the cell company was contacted with a request to ping the last known location of her cell phone, but it was not given. When the information was finally provided, 4 days later, Kelsey Smith was found strangled with her own belt after being sexually abducted. Further investigation into the video surveillance identified her abandoned car in the parking lot 4 hours later. What might have been the outcome if critical information had been provided sooner and that search that took 45 minutes had happened closer to the abduction moment? HB 1129 would put into statute the responsibility of every telecommunication company to provide an emergency phone number to the Department of Public Safety as a central collection point to be distributed to all 32 public service answering points in South Dakota State Radio, with a further requirement of updating them semi-annually. Kelsey's parents began an endeavor to provide this tool for law enforcement with their home state of Kansas, being the first one to adopt it in 2009. Since that time, 24 more states have passed legislation to ensure law enforcement agencies have the ability to get this critical information in emergency situations. Technology is a gift in situations like this. I urge you to pass this bill to the House floor and give law enforcement the ability and every opportunity to save lives. Secretary Price has also asked me to tell you that the Department of Public Safety supports the bill. Also, the Police Chiefs Association has supporting the bill, and just conversations in and out with all of them. The FBI is behind it as well. I will stand by for questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any more proponent testimony?
Good morning, Chairman Qualm, committee member Stacy Ackerman, executive director for the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. Last summer, myself and Sheriff Brian Dean out of Lawrence County attended the National Sheriff's Association conference. During that conference, one of the seminars we took in was a presentation by Mr. Greg Smith, who is the father of Kelsey. Afterwards, we walked out of there saying, we have to bring this to South Dakota. Fast forward, we were able to get Mr. Smith and his wife to come to South Dakota and present to our full membership this past fall. And while we don't have a problem currently, one life is one too many. And we have five big service providers, and we don't have any problems with them, but we were told there's like 70 plus out there, the little miniature ones. And if we can make this consistent for everybody, they found her body within 15 minutes of getting the location. We just urge your support for the next person that we might be able to help. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent? Seeing none, do we have any opponent testimony?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Justin Bell. I'm an attorney from PR. I'm also a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. Before we go too far, I really want to be clear that everyone feels for victims of crimes, but before we, specifically the one that was detailed by the proponent in this case, but before we go too far, I want to say this is an incredibly complicated area of law. It's not something that should be done based off of one situation in one state outside of South Dakota. I want to talk a little bit about the law as it relates to this. In 2018, in June, the United States Supreme Court entered a decision called Carpenter versus the United States. It's a decision that makes it unconstitutional to get the type of information that we're talking about. Specifically, prior to that, and maybe that's why some of the confusion happens here, it was pretty regular for law enforcement agencies to ask for this type of information, get it, and not have a warrant. It was a five-justice majority authored by Justice Roberts who says that you can't do that. This type of information has a warrant requirement as relates to it. Now, there are exceptions to that. Okay, I want to be very clear. One of them is an exception for what's called exigent circumstances, meaning emergency circumstances. Presumably that's what this bill was referring to. It's about two paragraphs long. I'll just read what the Supreme Court said. Further, even the government will generally need a warrant to access CSLI, but case-specific exceptions may support warrantless search of an individual's cell site records under certain exceptions. One of the recognized exceptions, when the exigencies of a situation make the needs of law enforcement so compelling that a warrantless search is objectively reasonable under the Fourth Amendment. Such exigencies, include the need to pursue a fleeing suspect, protect individuals who are threatened with imminent harm, or prevent imminent destruction of evidence. As a result, law enforcement is confronted with an urgent situation. Such fact-specific threats will likely justify warrantless collection of CSLI. Lower courts for existence have approved warrantless searches related to bomb threats, active shootings, and child abductions. Our decision today does not call into doubt the warrantless access to CSLI in such circumstances. So I just want to be clear. I think under current law, under the Supreme Court precedent, the specific example that was talked by the plaintiff isn't a problem. I mean, they even testified that it's not a problem right now in South Dakota. But this goes further than that. It's a lot broader than those. And this is a Supreme Court decision under the United States Constitution, the Fourth Amendment. One of the things I would note is it doesn't matter what statute a state law passes regarding liability exemptions for this. If someone were to bring a lawsuit in federal court, it would be judged under the U.S. Supreme Court decision, and there could still be damages regardless of the provisions in the statute that say that there's not going to be damages if you violate the Fourth Amendment and you get sued in federal court. That's going to control. So I would just urge this body, I mean, before you make a sweeping change, 1 year after a United States Supreme Court decision that says that you need a warrant to get this information, that you make sure there's a problem that we're seeing in South Dakota. I haven't heard. In fact, the proponent said there isn't a problem in South Dakota regarding this right now. I think that these situations are far better to be left to law enforcement on a case-by-case basis, exactly what's called for in this Supreme Court opinion before you pass it. So we would resist this bill and would ask you to defer to the 31st day. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any more opponent testimony? Seeing none, I will open up for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. He mentioned warrants. As you can see, the case in Kansas City, by waiting for and taking the time waiting for something, somebody's life maybe could have been saved and it wasn't saved. The bill actually calls for an emergency situation involving the immediate risk or death or serious physical harm. It's not an arbitrary thing that law enforcement does. And when law enforcement, it was stated that there isn't a problem in the state of South Dakota, it's because the cell companies are willingly providing that information, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. I actually threw this bill out to lobbyists of the cell phone companies, and you don't have any objections from them today, so I don't understand why there might be an objection from somebody else. Our law enforcement does a fantastic job, but they need this tool, and it is always in an emergency situation, and it has been used in the state of South Dakota on several occasions. So let's keep saving those lives and pass this bill on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that, I will open it up to questions.
Resident Jensen.
This could be for the sponsor or maybe for Ms. Ackerman. What I see in here is no paper trail or documentation of who had authority, when it happened, all that. Is that, would that be covered in another section of code, or because I'm just curious if there would be full documentation of everything that happened.
I guess that you mean as far as the case goes? I'm not sure I understand the question.
If the highest ranking officer has to make this request, mm-hmm. what kind of paper trail would there be? That's what I guess. Is that clear? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, there is actually a paper trail because I know at Sioux Falls Metro, they have a form they fill out and they submit that either with a phone call or electronically submit that phone to the phone companies. It's a fantastic system. I mean, she mentioned the five carriers. If the law enforcement or the Metro would actually call and say, here's the phone number, what have you got? They would call Verizon. Verizon knows immediately, that's not my phone, that's Sprint's phone. So it's working very well. But like I said, we want to make sure it stays that way. Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Halgard.
Yes, question for Mr. Bell. In regard to Carpenter v. U.S., I know that's a real narrow decision, but what is it that would improve this bill to be compliant with that decision?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Speaker Helgard, part of the problem with this is that there hasn't been a lot of case law in the last year to kind of narrow and figure out what the details and the exact holding of Carpenter is to specific situations. And that's one of the reasons why I think if there's not a problem right now, maybe this body ought to wait a year or two and see what the federal circuits are saying as it relates to this. What I mean by that is when you use terms like serious bodily harm in the statute, that can have a pretty broad meaning. It can mean bruising, for example, on somebody who's getting kicked by shod feet meaning shoes on. Is that enough to reach exigent circumstances? Maybe. I just don't know the answer to that because the Carpenter decision is roughly 1 year old. We haven't really had an opportunity to see exactly what the exigent circumstances are. I mean, the Supreme Court in the exigent circumstances talks about bomb threats and things of that nature. I think that's probably a little bit, bigger than just a serious bodily injury to one person. So I'm not sure. That's part of the problem. I don't know how to fix this, to craft it. I think that we're risking not knowing what the details of Carpenter are at this close time to the time the decision was made. I know that's a non-answer. I apologize for that. But
just a follow-up to that, do you know if there are any federal circuit court cases that have cited Carpenter?
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, I presume that there is, but I have not reviewed them all.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, for Mr. Bell, please. Thanks, Mr. Bell. And sorry if I missed this in your testimony earlier. I just want to make something clear in my own mind that all of this still falls under the Fourth Amendment. And so even if a law enforcement agency perfectly complied with the language of this statute, but did something that would have otherwise required a warrant and didn't get the warrant, the evidence that's discovered is going to be thrown out in court, right?
Mr. Chairman, yes. If you were following this statute and it was determined that it wasn't an exigent circumstance, the evidence, assuming that a motion to suppress was made, would get thrown out for a constitutional violation, and then you would have the potential of a civil 1983 action against whomever brought this, regardless of the statute. Yeah, because it's a completely separate standard. That's accurate, Representative Hanson.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, seeing none, I will open it up to committee comments and discussion.
Mr. Chair.
President Goodwin.
I recommend do pass.
This moved by Goodwin, seconded by Hansen. Any discussion on the motion?
I think it's got the right intent to it. I'm a little bit alarmed by the testimony saying that it could be unconstitutional based on a recent Supreme Court ruling, but I think if we could save one life by passing this, we're honor bound to do that.
Any further comments? Representative Helgard.
Yeah, I would just comment that that decision was a 5-4, and it was tipped only by Justice Roberts. But the overall intent of the statute seems to be consistent with what the Supreme Court ruled at that time. I'm sure they'll expand on it and clarify things, and I think it's incumbent on us to make sure we update this section of code, if it makes it, that we update it on an annual basis to make sure we're consistent with whatever cases are going to come out of this Carpenter decision. So I still think it's appropriate to pass it.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just say that, you know, the Fourth Amendment warrant requirement still applies in all of these cases. And so I think what this does is give some direction to the telecommunications providers. But at the end of the day, if law enforcement violates somebody's Fourth Amendment rights, the evidence that's seized in violation of the Fourth Amendment is going to be tossed out in court. So that's important to note. So I think this just gives some direction to the telecommunications provider, really, is what it comes down to. But at the same time, you know, everybody's right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure still applies under the Fourth Amendment.
Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, the secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Dennert.
No.
Diedrich.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
12 ayes, 1 nay.
House Bill 1129 as amended passes 12-1. Okay, we will move on to HB 1138. Establish shooting course requirements for current or former law enforcement officers seeking an enhanced permit to carry a concealed pistol. Do we have any proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Dale Hammock, District 31, which is Lawrence County, and here to talk with you about this bill. One of the, excuse me for just a second, just came from another committee and I'm shuffling papers. Thank you for your patience. I do have one amendment that we did, in fact, incorporate early this morning. Is it acceptable to inform you of that at this point?
Is that 1138A?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. You want that? Would you like that amendment moved so you can address the amended bill?
I would.
Okay. Moved by Gosch, seconded by Peterson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 1138, we brought this because in the background of working with the enhanced program for the last 5 years, we've had a number of retired law enforcement officers that have inquired about being able to obtain a permit based on their career, their training, et cetera. So we've been dealing, trying to deal with an appropriate way that balanced everything out. So what this bill does is it uses the foundation and structure of the enhanced program, and in that we have added a paragraph, information in the paragraph that allows a retired law enforcement officer to obtain a permit with all the same structure, with the exception of having to attend the class. They would still have to do the live fire qualification, and there's an option for doing it with an enhanced instructor or with a qualified law enforcement instructor, and then based on prior experience, retired credential, et cetera, they would be able to obtain an enhanced permit without attending the rest of the class. So not a big change, and it is an accommodation for the law enforcement people that are coming to our area, and there are a significant number. It's a desirable state to live in for people that have been in law enforcement. So that's the essence, and I'd be glad to answer any questions, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll just ask for more proponent testimony, and then
okay,
we'll,
that's fine.
Then we'll go from there.
Okay,
thank
very
you.
Good. I'm here and available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any more proponent testimony? Any more proponent testimony? Okay. Seeing none, do we have any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Well, seeing none, there's no reason for rebuttal, so we will move on to committee questions. Any committee questions? Question, comments, or action? President Jensen.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by McCleary. Any comments on it? Okay. Seeing none, I will have the secretary call the roll. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Diedrich.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
13 ayes.
HB 1138, as amended, moves to the floor. We can put that on consent. Thank you. Well, with that, because we are so doggone efficient, we are done for the day.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Beal.
I move to
adjourn.
Seconded by McCleary. All in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.